If you've been watching the news or listening to the radio, like myself, then you probably know how it feels to be soaking up all of this negative and troubling information, the things that are going on in our country and around the world. And maybe you're asking, how did we get here? But the bigger question that seems to be looming in the background is, how do we move forward? In light of everything, in light of everything that we see in our own country, in light of everything that seems to be affecting our lives, what is the next step and how do we press on as believers, as Christians living in a dark world? I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you have tuned in once again as we continue this discussion around the Great Commission. And it is a very intricate and sometimes complicated topic because it touches almost every aspect of life. It's not just, you know, oh, the missionary is here, he's going to talk about telling people about Jesus. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But at the same time, we have to look at just our everyday life. We have to talk about how we are interacting with those around us, not just family and our church, but our neighbors and our coworkers and our everyone in our life. We need to talk about how we are interacting with the people that we don't even know, that maybe we should know as we go out to make disciples of all nations. And so this topic, it's like you're peeling layers away. Layers of an onion. And you have to get really deep to get to the heart of the issue. It's not just a matter of, oh, hey, go get your Bible and go tell someone about Jesus. You know, there's a lot that is packed in this topic of the Great Commission as we go out and as we try to fulfill God's will for our lives. Now, today, we're talking about the world in which we live. It is a very crazy world, a world full of darkness. And a lot of times Christians are asking, hey, what is the way forward? In light of everything that we see around us, in light of the craziness that we are living in, how do we move forward? What is that next step? Well, I agree with you. We are definitely living in troubling times. The Bible says just as much. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I think we very possibly could be living in those last days. And whether we are or not, we definitely are seeing perilous times. We're definitely seeing troubling times. And our first reaction when we experience troubles, when we experience peril, when there's any kind of risk involved, we talked about that a few weeks ago, is that we withdraw. We see there's a potential problem, we withdraw. And, you know, I understand. Nobody wants to take on trouble. Nobody wants to take on uncertainty. We want to kind of retreat to our safe place, to our happy place. Everybody has a happy place. Even you, as you're listening to me talking right now, you're thinking about that happy place that you want to withdraw to. That place where you can shut out the world, where you can just close the door, maybe put your headphones on, and you can just retreat to that place where the whole world can just burn down to the ground and you'll be okay because it's not happening right where you are. And that's okay. I think that we do need a time to decompress. We do need a time where we can just rest and take a deep breath and say, man, wow, I made it another day. Listen, I have to do that as well. I mean, I'm in the ministry, I'm working, really busy, really active, and every once in a while, I just need to go. And as I say, I need to veg. I need to kind of tune everything out. But we can't make a habit of that. We can't just tune the whole world out while it burns down. You know, like I mentioned, these troubling times in which we live, they could be paralyzing. Literally, you can turn on the TV and you can become so overcome with fear that you just don't know what to do, that you don't even want to leave your home anymore because you're afraid. And you're thinking, wow, this world is just really, it's lost its mind. And I don't even know how to live in this world anymore. And so I'm just going to live in my community, my faith community. I'm going to be with people that I know they love me. They love me for who I am, and they're not going to get in my face. And that's, again, I go back to, that's retreating to your safe place. And there's a time for that, for sure. But when you turn on the TV, you're, again, reminded time and time again. A lot of people that I know, they just don't turn on the TV. They don't turn on the radio. They don't follow what's going on. I don't think we have to do that necessarily. I think that we should be in the know. We should know what's going on in the world around us. But when we look at the world today, it's easy to just get overwhelmed. We could look at our country and ask ourselves, you know, what is the future for our country? When we see alliances like the BRICS alliance between Russia, China, Brazil, India, and South Africa, and we see that we don't know what's going to happen with the U.S. dollar and how a lot of the world is not even using our currency anymore, what does the future hold? The securities that we have built around us, are they going to be there tomorrow, in a year, in 10 years? Everything that we've built up, what's going to happen? We could look at the continuing sexual revolution and the promotion and agenda of a movement that really just seems to confuse the most basic fundamentals of life, trying to redefine what is a woman, what is a man, and all of that. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. We could look at the political corruption and the double standards that seem to be imposed on those who would follow God, those who would hold to the biblical narrative. We could look at the growing influence that seeks to undermine our faith, this worldly influence, this influence that wants to undermine our children's faith. And as they're growing in the Lord, to draw them away from God, to draw them away from what they have been learned and what they've been taught. You know, we can look at all of that and we could ask ourselves, what do we do? How do we move forward? How are we going to overcome this? Where do we turn? And there's a lot of different ways that, you know, different suggestions, different paths forward that people are trying to take. Some Christians, they say, well, the answer really lies in new legislation. We need new legislation. We need more political involvement. We need new laws, better politicians. I think that we could always have better politicians, right? All of the corruption that we see in politics. You know, some people are claiming, hey, we just need Donald Trump as president, and then everything will be perfect once again. We need the Republican Party to take over. We need this. We need the Congress. We need the Senate. We need to have the majority. And then things will get back to where they need to be. Maybe things will get back to normal. Well, I don't know. I don't know if things will ever get back to normal. That word normal, it's a pretty interesting word. What is normal? You know, if you're thinking about normal as in how things used to be, I don't think we're ever going to get there. I don't think that sense of normal will ever return. I think that the world today has changed. Our culture has changed. Our country has changed, and not for the better. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that. And we need to have a path forward. And a lot of people, they're asking, are we to isolate ourselves? Are we to build underground bunkers? Maybe cut ourselves off from the world, from the outside world? Do we need to go off the grid? You know, let's go solar and let's build a bunker and get rations and put everything together and so that we can just be better off. Is there maybe a better solution? Maybe there's even a more biblical solution to this growing tension that seems to be there in the hearts of believers. Well, one thing we know is that things are not getting better. Everywhere we turn, there are agendas, there are schemes that are trying to pull us away from our focus, from our mission. We are surrounded by chaos and uncertainty. And with all of that going on, it could be hard to know what to do. It can be confusing. And we can look at all of this and ask, hey, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know where to go and where to turn to. But as Christians, we know that no matter what is happening in the world around us, that God is still in control. Now, I know this is often used and we often hear that, but we need to understand what that means, that God is still in control. That doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to be spared from these troubling times, from these perilous times. We might not be spared. We have this idea that because we're Americans, because we're God's children, that, well, we're just going to be spared. Everything's going to be perfect. We're going to have a prosperous life, and we're going to ride off into the sunset. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. As we get closer to those perilous times, of the last days, it's going to be harder. It's going to get harder for us to live for God. And we're going to suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men. Well, we have plenty of those. Plenty of evil men out there today. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I mean, just when we think these evil men couldn't get any more evil, the Bible says they're going to get worse, that things are going to get worse. That's hard to believe because look at the world. Can you imagine things getting any worse than they are today? And you're saying, Damon, don't jinx us. Well, I'm not trying to, but the Bible says those perilous times are coming, that we are going to suffer persecution, that these evil men are going to get more evil, that these seducers are going to get worse than they already are. And with all of that, it's easy to get crippled with fear. It's easy to lose our peace. But as Christians, we can have peace. Believe it or not, we can have contentment knowing that He is in charge of our lives. God is in control, that He is the one that decides the final outcome. You know, God gives and God takes away. God blesses and God withholds blessing. You know, I have children, and a lot of times they'll ask for different things. They'll come to me with expectation, and sometimes I'm able to give them that desire that they have. But there are times as well when I don't give them what they want, and they feel maybe rejected, or they feel like they are out of favor with me. But that's not the case at all. A lot of times I just know what's best for them, and I know what they need, and I know what they can handle. And we need to understand God is in that same position. He knows what we need. He knows that we need Him. And all these other things that we think we need, we don't really have a need for those things. Right now, God, He knows. Trust God. We don't have to be afraid of the things happening around us. Because no matter what's going on, we have a purpose and a mission that God has given us. And this is what I really want to focus on today. Before we get there, though, go back to that 2 Timothy 3, that chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Listen, no matter how bad things get, and they're going to get bad. You say, well, Damon, you're a ray of sunshine today. I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be positive here. But no matter how bad things get, we have a mission. God has given us a purpose to continue. We've talked about this before. We need to continue. We need to conserve. We are conservatives. What does that mean? We have something to conserve. We have a way of life. We have a philosophy. We have a doctrine. We have a belief. We have a faith that we want to keep and to protect. So continue. Continue with what you know. Continue with what you've been taught. Don't give up. And here's the thing, no matter how bad the world gets, nothing has changed. Our purpose remains the same. And this is a really, really important point here. Our responsibility, it remains the same, to make disciples and to help bring about a reconciliation between God and man. This is our focus. The world can burn down around us. And while all of that is happening, we should be out there. We should be trying to make disciples. We should be trying to save those that can be saved, those that will listen, those that would hear the word of God, those who would believe. We need to go out there. We need to do our best. We need to not give up. You know, a lot of times we want to give up. We want to say, hey, things are just too hard. Things are out of control. The world has lost its mind. And I don't want to be involved in this chaos. Don't give up. Don't give up because someone, if you have heard the gospel and you acted on it and you've received the Lord, there's a good chance it's because someone didn't give up on you. And if we had that investment in our lives, and if we know the Lord today because someone told us, well, then don't we have a responsibility to go out and to do our part now that we have the truth, now that we know the Lord? Friends, this is our call as Christians today, to live in the assurance of God's love and to share it with those around us. Listen, we have God. We have that relationship with Him. We need to live in that assurance. We have that hymn that we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And a lot of times we're like, hey, Jesus is mine. Hey, not yours. He's mine. And I'm going to keep him. And I'm not going to tell you about him because he's mine. And I'm just going to kind of retreat and go to my happy place. And whatever else happens, that's okay. Don't have that attitude. Don't have that stance where you just want to keep what is yours, to protect what is yours, to hold on to what is yours. The gospel, it is yours, but it's meant to be given out. It's meant to be shared. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and verse 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As everything is going on and these perilous, as these troubling and perilous, here's a new word. If you want to get if you want to get troubling and perilous together, you can say troublous. But as all of that is happening, stand firm. Stand firm in his faithfulness, knowing that he's not going to leave you, knowing that he is not going to forsake you. That's part of even what the Great Commission says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. The Bible says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. If Jesus is with us always, and if he said, I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee, then what do we have to be afraid of? No matter what's going on in the world, we can be sure of one thing, that God's love never fades and that he is always at work. There's never a time where he's just absent. There's never a time when we are out of his sight. He is always there. He knows what we're going through. He knows our troubles. He knows our cares. We can trust him. We can rely on him to bring hope to a dark and uncertain world. But we have to move forward with boldness to do his work and to fulfill the mission that he has given us. After he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, the Bible says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God is our helper. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry about it. We can move forward with boldness to make disciples of all nations, to declare confidently the promises of God, and to share the hope that we can find in Christ, to preach the gospel. Be bold. Have confidence. Don't be timid. The world is not timid, and neither should you be. Go out there with the message that you have to proclaim the good news. But the one thing we know is that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't give in to fear. Fear will cripple you. Fear will limit you in what you are able to do for God. Fear will hold you down. It will take the breath out of your lungs. It will take the power out of your steps to go and to give the gospel to those around you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And this is where it kind of connects back to how Christ has come to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. In John chapter 10, verse 10, listen, we need to live that abundant Christian life. It's a life of power. It's a life of victory. It's a life where you are accomplishing things around you in the world in which you live. It doesn't have to be a perfect world. The world was never perfect. It was always affected by sin. There's a problem. The human condition is that we've all fallen short of God's glory. But we don't have to give in to the fear that is ruling so many people around us. We don't have to look at all the war that is going on around the world, the conflict that is going on. We don't have to be limited and trembling because of the ungodly laws that are being passed. We don't have to worry about the flack that we are getting continually because we hold to a biblical standard. We don't have to worry about the culture and how it has changed so much for the worse. Things may not look good for us, but that's okay, because what did we expect? I mean, the Bible has told us just as much, that the world is going to get worse, that we are going to suffer persecution. Look back at 2 Timothy chapter 1, where the Bible says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Verse number 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." There's a connection there between being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel and receiving the power of God. Are you ready to take on those afflictions? Don't run from them. Don't try to cower from them. Don't try to avoid them. Don't compromise your stand as a believer because you want to avoid troubles in perilous times, troublous times, right? Don't avoid them, but embrace it. Be a partaker of these afflictions for the sake of the gospel. Verse number 9. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." You know, there are times when we will feel scared, where things are going to seem out of control, where we're not going to know the outcome, and we're not going to know how life is going to move and what we can look forward to. But as believers in Jesus Christ, our hope is not in this world. It's not in our government. It's not in our politicians. We can't look to our representatives and say, "Hey, it's their job to fix this mess." The mess is just too big. It can't be fixed. You can't make a law to fix the human condition, to fix the heart. Mankind has been alienated from God, and the only thing that can bring back man is that reconciliation between God and mankind. It's that hope that we have in Christ when we by faith come to him and believe, when we trust in him for salvation. We need to move forward. We need to not be afraid, but we need to understand there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger plan that God has implemented, and things are getting bad. It's true. And no one wants to feel this fear in their heart. But can I ask you something? What did you expect? I mean, the world really is just doing what the world does. The world is being the world. The world has always been against God. The world has always wanted to rule by fear. The world has always done things their own way, which usually is against the Bible, against our faith. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is that maybe the world today is more open in their sin. Maybe the world is more open in how they are opposing our faith. Before, it was maybe done behind the scenes, but today there definitely is no transparency with their disdain for God. And so don't be surprised when the world is so against God and against all that we believe in. Don't be shocked by that. Don't be shocked when you see some pushback from, you know, the culture in which we live, pushback against us and just trying to do things in the way we feel is right according to the Word of God. Don't be shocked. Expect it. Anticipate it. And embrace the afflictions of the gospel. Our hope is that as followers of Christ, that we don't have to be overcome by fear, by worry about what's going to happen, what's going to happen down the road. In fact, we can have that full assurance that God is in control. He's in control of our lives. He's in control of the world around us. Even when things seem out of control, God knows. God sees everything that's happening. John chapter 16, verse 33, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Okay, right there. Did you see that? In me ye might have peace. You're not going to find peace outside of Christ. Jesus said, "In me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He has overcome the world. He has victory over the world, over death. What do we have to be afraid of? You know, they opposed Jesus. They persecuted Jesus. They're going to do the same with us. We have to anticipate that. We have to know that this persecution, these perilous times are coming, but they don't have to define us. We can be defined by the hope that we have in God. We can be defined by the comfort, by the peace that we have, that no matter what happens, it doesn't change who we are. As believers, as children of God, the world can oppose us, they can persecute us, but it doesn't change our mission, the task that God has given us to do, to go and to make disciples. Don't let the world intimidate you to the point where you give up on the calling that God has for your life, the calling for which you were created. We don't have to doubt God. We don't have to doubt His word. God has taken care of us in the past, and He's going to take care of us in the future. We can trust Him to do what is best. We can be confident that nothing can separate us from His love. This is our hope, that we have peace in Him. No matter what struggles we face in the world, our hope remains. It remains firm that we can always call upon the name of Christ and be reminded of His presence and His peace. And that's really why we are here today, why we even have this podcast, to remind you of what you already know, to remind you that God is still in control. You know that. To remind you that we have something to do. We have a mission to be active in. You know this already. We're here today to remind you. God wants us to be reminded. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body, body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Listen, don't worry about all of this. Do you believe God's going to take care of you? He takes care of His creation. What about you? How much more will He take care of you? Verse 27 says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Listen, how are you going to keep your life? How are you going to protect what you have? How are you going to lengthen your time here on Earth? We can't control that. There is so much that we cannot control in our life. And the sooner that we can accept that, the better off we're going to be. Because in our attempt to control life, to keep it and to protect what is ours, we lose focus. We lose focus on what is really important. We lose focus on the things that God wants us to be doing. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Listen, you cannot control everything, and neither should you try to. Understand that God knows. God is in control. Trust him. Our faith, true faith, is not controlled or altered by outside circumstances. Our faith should not be dictated by the world, by what is happening around us. Faith in God is born from a knowledge and a realization that we're not in control. Isn't that kind of what faith is all about? Faith is not really understanding. Faith is not necessarily even seeing with our eyes. Faith is believing. When we don't understand, when we don't know, when we are uncertain, we can still have faith. We can still believe. We can't have total control. But I have good news. God can. God does have total control. God is the ultimate authority. And he knows, and he is watching you, and he knows what you're going through, and he knows your fears and your concerns. Can I encourage you today to choose to live in God's truth? Make that choice. You know, we are constantly weighed down with the cares of this life. We can feel the chaos of this world and its effects in our lives. We can experience the fear, the pain, confusion, and doubt. And it's no wonder when we are bombarded every day with reports of violence, hatred, and despair. We turn on the news, we look at what's going on in our country, and it's discouraging sometimes. And often we look and we say, is there any hope? Where do we go from here? How do we move forward with everything the way it is? And that's where we have to realize it doesn't matter how things are around us. What matters is how we react to it. How we are living, the choices that we are making in reaction to the outside world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Those things that would discourage you, tell them to God. Let your request be made known unto him. You say, well, doesn't he already know? He does. But he wants you to come to him. When we present the things that we recognize are outside our control, they're outside our ability to fix or to do anything about, we are essentially surrendering these things to God. We're saying, we can't do it. We don't have the power to fix this. We need that help. We need his peace and his comfort. Verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The battle today is over your mind and your heart. And the devil would have you discouraged. The devil would have you to give up, to look at this world and to say, what can we do? How can we make any positive change? That's what the world would have you to believe. These are the lies of this world. And the only way to combat a lie is with truth. You need to surround yourself with truth. In verse 8, the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and it goes on, the things that are just and pure and lovely, the things that are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You are a body, a soul, and a spirit. You have that spiritual component. You have spiritual needs. You need to help yourself and reinforce your spirit by focusing on the things that are true, the things that are pure, the things that are good and lovely. These are the things that you need in your life. When you are constantly saturated with sin and vileness, you need something good in your life. You need something true, because there are so many lies. Find something lovely. Find something of a good report. The Bible says those things, the things we just talked about, those things, the good things, the true things, the things that you have received from God, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So take some time today, every day, to renew your mind, to renew your heart. Get your mind focused on God. Get your mind focused on God's truth. Commit to do the things that you know are true. When you have reinforced in your mind and in your heart what you believe and why, then dig in and say, you know what? This world can throw whatever it wants to throw at me, and that is okay, because I am moving forward. I am going to believe what I believe. I know what I've received from God. I know that the Bible is true, and the Bible is my guide. The Bible is my authority, and I am going to work in His peace. And I'm going to move forward, regardless of this world, regardless of what is going on around me. And when we commit to that, the Bible says, the God of peace shall be with you. We can't be effective in making disciples if we are crippled with fear, if we're weighed down with the cares of this world, with the cares of this life. Stand with God. And while you're doing that, stand with other people. You're not alone. Unite with others that have just as much passion for God as you do. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. We have this principle of synergy, how we are stronger together than we are separately. That is the same for us. Find someone that you know loves the Lord, and you know who these people are. You can walk into a room, you can get into a conversation, and within 5 minutes, you will know what this person loves. You will know about their relationship with God. You can just tell. Someone who really loves God, you can tell. You can tell by how they talk, what they talk about, with what they do and how they live their lives. Find these people and get around these people. Surround yourself with these people and always be with them. Live with them, minister with them, do things with them. When you want to get together and have some fun, do it with them. Be around people that are going to encourage you. We can become stronger in our faith. We can be more confident and secure in our beliefs. We can be more dedicated to living out God's plan in our lives when we are around such people. There's a reason why Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. And I think the same reason is just as valid for us today, because we need help. We need encouragement. We need people around us. We need to surround ourselves with these people who share a love for God. We can find support and encouragement to continue on faithfully. When I look at people around me and I see my friends and I'm thinking, wow, these guys, they're doing it. They're living it. They're committed to the cause, the same cause I'm committed to. If they can be faithful, if they can continue on in such a wicked world, with so much temptation, with so much tribulation, with all these perilous times, if they can continue on the same path that I'm on, if they can walk this journey, the same journey I'm on, well, I can do it too. I can continue too, because there's someone that's beside me. Find such a person. Be around those kinds of people. Be around God's people. Draw on their wisdom and strength. Find a partner. Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, or maybe you would consider a ministry partner, someone who can just encourage you when you need it. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Have a good friend. I always say, your friends are either going to make you or they're going to break you. You need good friends. And if you have bad friends, get rid of them. I mean, just shake them off. You need friends that share in the same zeal and love for God, the same commitment to Him. You need those kinds of friends. Be around those people. There are a lot of good partnerships in the Bible. Partnerships like Elijah and Elisha, Moses, Joshua, David and Jonathan. We have Paul and Barnabas. And obviously, there are some partnerships that they don't last forever. Paul and Barnabas is like one of those examples. They were a great team, but that partnership didn't last forever. And eventually they separated and Paul and Silas became a partnership and Barnabas and Mark went a different way. Partnerships sometimes are temporary, but work with the people that you have in your life. Find the people that you have right now, the people who are present today, and work with them and find a way forward with them. Because remember, you are not alone. You're stronger together than you are apart. So can I encourage you today as we wrap things up, get involved. We have a lot to do. So get involved. Get together with other believers. There are people around you and they're in the same boat. So stop focusing on yourself and realize you're in this together. So get together with other believers and get active. And while you're getting yourself where you need to be, don't forget to get signed up for our podcast. You know, a lot of people are listening to us on Apple Podcast, some people on Podbean, or whatever podcast platform you are currently on. Take a moment to press that button and subscribe so that you can be notified when we have a new episode coming out. Also, go on our website at hopezambia.com to sign up and receive our bi-monthly newsletter. We take a lot of time to put that together, different interactive elements that we want you to participate in. And so try to do that, to go on our website. There's a lot of information on that website. If you need to contact us, if you want to write us with any questions or comments, even with the show that we have here, there is a contact form, or you can send a text message to me directly at area code 585-333-9586. That's 585-333-9586. So again, thank you for joining us today. I'm Damon Matichera, and you've been listening to the Let's Talk Missions podcast. We appreciate you. We're very thankful for all of you who've been keeping our family in your prayers as we serve the Lord here in Zambia, Africa. So until next time, take care and God bless.